This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين Inshallah, we will begin with the beautiful name of Allah, As-Samad. And the name As-Samad, it means the absolutely perfect or the ultimate recourse, the one who is self-subsisting, the one who is the eternal refuge for all existence. Now, the name As-Samad, we see that it occurs only once in the Quran in Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. And this surah basically explains to us the meaning of the name As-Samad. And then we see that this name is also mentioned in the sunnah where we learn about a man who was making dua, and in that dua, he mentioned the name As-Samad, that, O Allah, you are Al-Ahad As-Samad. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard this man making this dua, he said that you have called upon Allah by a name, when he is called upon by that name, then he certainly gives, he certainly responds. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved of this dua. So we see that the name As-Samad, it is mentioned in the Quran and it is also mentioned in the Sunnah. And what does this name mean? Let's look at the meaning of this name. Now, when we look at the word samada, the verb samada, samada means to direct oneself towards something or someone. So samada means qasada, to intend towards someone or something, to direct oneself towards someone or something, meaning that you go to someone. Why do you go to someone? Why do you direct yourself to them? Because you are in need of them, right? They're able to help you. You are weak. So you are dependent on them, which is why you turn towards them. So this is why we see that the word samad is actually used for a sayyid or a lord, a chief, a master. So this is the first implication of the word samad, that it means a lord or a master. If you can please move to the next slide so that we can look at the meanings. Jazakumullah khair. So a lord or chief, a master in whom others take refuge in. So this is the first meaning of the word samad. And secondly, the word samad means a lord to whom a chief on whom others are dependent. So first of all, they are taking refuge, they are taking shelter, they're seeking security with that lord, with that chief. And then secondly, they are turning towards that chief, towards that lord, that master. Why? For the fulfillment of their needs. So they are dependent upon this master. And this is why samad is also used for a lord to whom obedience is rendered, meaning you must obey this lord, because there's no, it's not possible to accomplish anything, to accomplish any goal without him. And then thirdly, the word samad is also used for a lord or a chief, a master above whom is no one. So for example, in a tribal system where there is a hierarchy, you know, there's that person at the top, right? At the top, meaning above him is no one. So this is the concept of samad, that it is a lord above whom is no one. And then the word samad is also used for the one who does not become needy, right? So it is actually used for a man who does not become thirsty, who does not become hungry, even in war. Because, you know, people after some, you know, after exerting some effort, they get tired. And, you know, different people have different capacities. Some people get tired very quickly. And other people, they have a lot of endurance, a lot of strength, so they don't tire quickly. So this is, Samad is a person who does not get thirsty, does not get hungry in war. And then finally, the word Samad is also used for something that is solid, that does not have a cavity, meaning it is not hollow from the inside, it is solid from the inside. So these are the linguistic implications or the meanings of the word Samad. Now, when we're talking about Allah Azza wa Jal, that He is a Samad, then what does that mean? This means that, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate recourse. He is a Samad. Remember the first meaning, the Lord, the Master, whom people direct themselves to. So Allah is the ultimate recourse, the one whose protection everyone is in need of. Meaning there is no safety, no security, no well-being for any creature in any way whatsoever without the help, without the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah does not grant security to something or someone, it is not secure. They are not safe. So As-Samad, He is the ultimate recourse. And then He is As-Samad, He is the ultimate recourse without whom no affair is accomplished. Meaning we are in need of not just His security, but also His help, His assistance, His will, His permission in our favor so that we can get things done. We see that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he defined As-Samad as alladhi, the one who all creatures turn to. All the khala'iq, all of the creatures, they turn to Him in their needs, right? And with all their requests, meaning He is the one that they are completely dependent upon. So Allah is the one who fulfills the needs and requests of all of His creatures. So we're all dependent on Him. He is the ultimate recourse. And we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills the requests of all of His creatures. So we see in hadith, for example, regarding animals, that if it was not for the animals on earth, people who do not give zakat would not receive rain at all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills the needs of His creatures. And then we learn about, you know, how the womb, the rahim, it made a plea to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled its request. We learn about even Jahannam, hell, that it made a request to Allah, that parts of me are eating other parts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to its request. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, As-Samad, whether something is living or non-living, it is something that has freedom or it doesn't. It doesn't matter what type of creature it is. Every creature is dependent on Allah. There is no existence for any creature without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting it security, well-being, and without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving it the assistance that it is in need of. Because the creation is ultimately weak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, As-Samad, He is free of any need and He is perfect in Himself. Then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Samad, this also means that He is the greatest, the highest, above whom is no one. So we see that the word Samad is used for a Sayyid, right? Who is the ultimate master, the ultimate chief, meaning above whom is no one. And of course, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the greatest. Allahu Akbar, that Allahu A'la, that He is the highest and He is the greatest. So we see that once, a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that anta sayyiduna, you are our master. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as-sayyidu Allah, that the real sayyid, the ultimate master, is actually Allah. We learn in a hadith about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah the Exalted says that al-kibriya, greatness is my cloak. Al-azama, also similar, meaning dignity, respect, that is also for Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So al-kibriya'u rida'i wal-azamatu izari. And in the hadith, it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever fights with me over these, meaning whoever tries to exalt himself, right, above Allah, or to be like Allah, then such a person will be thrown into the fire. So absolute lordship, authority, greatness, supremacy is for who? It is only for Allahu Samad, Allah who is As-Samad. Subhana dhil jabarut wal malakut wal kibriya'i wal azama. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say when he would make rukur. Then we see that As-Samad, the fourth meaning is that Allah is absolutely perfect. He is absolutely perfect, so nothing and no one is better than him, Azza wa Jalla. So we learn that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, describing the name As-Samad, that As-Samad is a chieftain whose greatness is absolute. Right, a noble whose nobility is complete and impeccable, someone who is mighty, possessing absolute power. So he described As-Samad as who? As-Sayyid, As-Sharif, Al-Azim, and also Al-Halim, not just absolutely great, but also very forbearing, and very rich, and very mighty, and absolutely knowledgeable, and extremely wise, and one whose judgment, whose decision prevails. So he described As-Samad, the name As-Samad, as the one who is perfect in every way, in every attribute, in every quality. This is why we believe that all of the names of Allah are perfect. Meaning no one is better than Allah in those attributes. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ. Allah is free of need, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do something, he just says, kun, and it happens. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِّنَ الذُّلْ. He does not have a friend out of weakness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of any need. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Samad. This also means that He is absolutely perfect and He is free of any fault and He is free of any need whatsoever. Remember that one of the meanings of the name As-Samad or the word As-Samad is something that is solid, meaning something that does not have any cavity, right? It is not hollow or empty from inside. So, meaning something, and you know, it's used for something that does not have a stomach. So we see that in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ. He is the one who gives food, and He is not given food, right? And then we learn in Surah Taha that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. We do not ask you for any sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask his creation to give him sustenance. He is the one who gives sustenance to the creation. And if you think about it, having a stomach, right, or having a cavity is a symbol, it is a sign of weakness. We learned that when Adam alayhi salam was created, you know, Iblis, he went and he examined the body of Adam alayhi salam very closely. Right. This is before the soul was blown into Adam alayhi salam. So when Iblis saw that Adam alayhi salam had a cavity inside, meaning he had a jowf, right? He had a stomach. Then what happened? He said that I can easily overcome him, right? It's not difficult to deal with this. So the thing is that when you have a stomach, it means that you can get hungry, It means that you are in need of food. It means that you are dependent on food, right? You need that hollow, that space to be filled with something. And when it is empty, right, this means that you can become weak. You can become completely incapacitated. And it also means that you can fall ill. How often we fall ill because of something bad that we eat or something we eat which does not suit us, right? And then we see that, having a stomach means that we can also become greedy, right? We have desires, and then that greed makes us compete with one another and makes us resort to wrong and unlawful ways to get what we desire. So this is, these are all weaknesses that are associated with having an emptiness inside, right? Meaning that there is a void inside of us that needs to be filled. And we have to fill that void with material things, but then there is also, a void in the heart that needs to be filled with spiritual sustenance. So this is our reality. This is the state of the creation. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is As-Samad. He is perfect and complete in and of Himself. He does not need anything to fill Him. No, we need something to fill us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any need, right? So He does not need a child, which is why As-Samad is who? Alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad. Right, the one who does not give birth, nor is he begotten. He does not need a child, right? وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٍ. And there is no co-equal to him. There is no one who is like him. So Allah is absolutely perfect, free of any fault, free of any need. And this means that He did not create us so that we could fulfill some need of His, or that we can make up for some deficiency in Him. No, that's not why He created us. He did not make us His slaves so that our slavery would benefit Him or empower Him in some way, or that it would make Him wealthier in some way. No, He is completely independent of us. So why did He create us? He created us for His worship. And our worship also does not benefit Him at all, because He is ghaniyun anil alameen. So if we were to summarize the meaning of the name As-Samad, what does it mean? As-Samad is the one who is independent of all, who is perfect in Himself. As-Samad is the one on whom everyone depends on. So there is no survival, no existence without Him, Azza wa Jal. So this is the meaning of the name As-Samad. Now, what about us? What should we do when we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Samad? The first thing is that we should know and we should believe that there is no samadiyah except for Allah. Meaning when it comes to absolute authority, absolute perfection, and absolute independence from everyone, and such that everyone depends on Him, this is exclusively for Allah Azza wa Jal. Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, right? That say the fact is that Allah is ahad, He is one. There is no one like Him, right? There's no second being or third being that is like Allah Azza wa Jal. He is only one. And He is only one because He is As-Samad, right? Because He is perfect in and of Himself. So remember that perfection and permanence and absolute authority and freedom of need, this is exclusively for who? Allah Azza wa Jal. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Samad, we should turn to Him in all our needs. Because whether we do so willingly or not, the fact is that we are dependent on Him. Nothing can happen in our lives. We cannot even take the next breath without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we are completely dependent on Him, whether we love Him or not, whether we acknowledge Him or not, we are still dependent on Him. So why not ask Him? Why not go to Him willingly? So Allahu Samad, This means that we should turn to him. And the thing is that, you know, sometimes we don't ask certain people for help because then we're afraid that, you know, they're going to demand something from us, or they're going to mistreat us, right? You know, they're going to keep, you know, reminding us of the favor that they have done. And so I'd rather, you know, stay without this need being fulfilled than ask this person for help. But Allah Azza wa Jal, He is independent of us, right? We depend on Him and He is independent on us. He is independent of us. So there's no losing, basically. There's only winning and gaining and fulfillment when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this means that we should put our worries before Him. Right, whatever difficulty we are experiencing, whatever struggle that we have in our lives, any injustice, right, any abuse, anything big or small that we are going through, let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn about how Khawla radiallahu anha, you know, when her husband pronounced zihar against her, she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking him for a solution, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have any solution for her, because no revelation had been given regarding that matter, no hukm had been given regarding that matter. So Khawla radiallahu anha kept making du'a to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, that Allah heard the statement of the woman who was arguing with you and who was complaining to Allah, you know, about her condition, about her husband. Wallahu yasma'u tahawurakuma. Allah was listening to your conversation, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is samir. He is ever hearing. And then in the following verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the commands regarding that situation. So put your worries before Allah, because you are in need of Allah. Anytime you're struggling with something big or small, turn to Allah, ask Him, remember Him, say Hasbi Allah, right? Say Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Say Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. When Allah is Samad, then obey Him. Because remember that a Samad is a master, a Lord, right? Who is supposed to be obeyed. So when Allah is the one who is, you know, who has absolute authority, and He is the one whom we have to ultimately return to, then let us obey Him. And let us put His command before or above anyone else's wish. That what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, that takes priority over everything else. We should be loyal to Allah when He is As-Samad. And also, when Allah is As-Samad, then let us place all our hopes in Him alone. Because remember that if all of the creation were to gather together to benefit us or to harm us, they wouldn't be able to do that without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decreed that for us. So let us place our hopes in Allah. And then when Allah is As-Samad, then have courage. Have courage by relying upon the one who is perfect, the one who helps, the one who grants refuge, the one who fulfills the wishes, the needs of His creatures. So have courage. You know, when you just look at your own ability, you are afraid because you know how limited you are. You know how weak you are. And that is true. You are weak. You are limited. But by relying upon As-Samad, you can accomplish great things. So put your trust in Him, and by that, have courage. How can we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this beautiful name? Well, first of all, when we're making dua, then we should mention this name. Remember that the man was making dua and he mentioned, "Oh Allah, I ask you because you are Ahad, you are As-Samad." Right? And then he went on and he made dua. There's a version that I mentioned in the previous class, and then there is another version of this dua in which we learn, Allahumma inni as'aluka ya Allah, sorry, Allahumma inni as'aluka ya Allah al-ahad as-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And then you ask Allah, an taghfira li dhunubi, that, oh Allah, I ask you because you are one, you are perfect, you are the ultimate recourse, the absolutely perfect, right? You are the one who is not, who does not give birth, nor is he begotten. There is no one like you. So I ask you that you forgive me my sins. You forgive all of my sins. Innaka antal ghafurur rahim. Indeed, you are forgiving and merciful. We learned that the Prophet ﷺ heard a man making this dua, and the Prophet ﷺ said, قَدْ غُفِرَ لَهُ قَدْ غُفِرَ لَهُ قَدْ غُفِرَ لَهُ. Certainly this man has been forgiven. He has been forgiven. He has been forgiven. He said it three times. So this is a very beautiful dua, a very important dua. And you see, by mentioning the name As-Samad, what are we saying? We are saying that, Ya Allah, I need you to forgive me. I am dependent on you, right? And then another thing we should do is we should recite Surah Al-Ikhlas. Recite it when going to sleep, as the Prophet ﷺ would recite قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and also Surah Al-Ikhlas. Recite the surah in the morning and in the evening. Recite the surah in salah, especially in the sunnah prayers of Fajr and of Maghrib, in the second rak'ah. Also love this surah. You know, a lot of times we recite this surah just because it's easy to recite it. We don't have to think. We don't have to pay attention. We can just recite it without pausing, right? Because we know it so well. And that's okay that you recite it frequently because it's easy for you to recite it. But recite this surah with love. Yani, pay attention to its meaning. Realize who you are talking about, who you are describing. It's a very powerful surah. And remember that the man who would recite this surah so much in salah that people complained to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ asked that man that, why do you recite it so much? The man said, because I love it. I love this surah, right? And the Prophet ﷺ, and he said that Allah loves you because of your love for this surah. So this is not something small. It's a big deal. Recite the surah with meaning, with attention, with love. And the more that you reflect upon it, the more you will love it. Now the next name that inshallah we will be looking at is the name Al-Haqq. Allah is Al-Haqq, the truth. Now the name Al-Haqq, we see that it occurs 10 times in the Quran. And we see, for example, two occurrences over here. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ in Surah Al-Hajj, that the fact is that Allah is Al-Haqq. Allah is the truth. So Al-Haqq, the word truth, it means what is, you know, something that is an established fact, right? Something that is real, you know, something that does not have any doubt in it whatsoever. And if you can move to the next slide, please. And al-haq also means something that is permanent, right? Something that is, everlasting. So al-haq is what is true, what is real, what is undeniable. It is the opposite of batil. Batil is what is false, what is unreal. So al-haq is what is real, right? It is true. It has no doubt in it. Al-Haqq also means what is permanent, everlasting, meaning it's never, ever going to end. And Al-Haqq is also something that is in accordance with reality, right? It is in accordance with reality. It is suitable to the requirements of wisdom and justice and truth and fact. So with all of these meanings in mind, when we're talking about Allah Azza wa Jal, that He is Al-Haqq, what does that mean? It means that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the truth, meaning He is real. He is real. He is the truth. His existence is true. His lordship is true. The fact that He is Ilah, the fact that He is God, that is true. Allah is Haqq. And whatever else that is worshipped besides Allah, that is not true. That is not real. Meaning, if anything is worshipped besides Allah, does that thing, does that object, you know, actually exist? No, it doesn't. Is that object really worthy of worship? No, it isn't. Is that object really a God? Really the creator? No, it isn't. So if there is anything that is, you know, if a person believes that there is something other than Allah that is also God, right? Or that, you know, there's, you know, that it is the son of God, or it is an equal to God. Is that real? No, it's not real. That is all batil. Because remember, haqq is the opposite of batil. So we see in Surah Al-Hajj, the verse that was mentioned earlier, that ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. The fact is that Allah is the truth. وَأَنَّهُ يُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. And the fact is that He will resurrect the dead. In verse number 62 of Surah Al-Hajj, Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. The fact is that Allah is the truth. وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. And whatever it is that they call upon besides Allah, that is all falsehood. It is all false. It is not really God. In fact, it doesn't even exist. It's just names or concepts, right, that people have come up with. It's all mythology or imitation of it, right, that people have come up with, and they've passed on generation, you know, one generation to the other, adding their lies, right, layers upon layers of lies. So that does not make them real. They're all false. And Allah is al-haq, right? So we learn in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 62, that ثُمَّ رُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ. That then they will be returned to Allah, who is their true mawla, who is their true owner, their true Lord. They spent their lives serving other gods and other, you know, or serving different beings. And the fact is that they were not truly God. They were not their true mawla. Who is the true mawla of the entire creation? It is only Allah, mawlahumul haqq. In Surah Taha, ayah 114, Allah says, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. Allah is al-malikul haqq, the true malik, the true sovereign. And then in Surah Yunus, ayah 32, Allah says, فَذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمُ الْحَقِّ. That Allah is your true Rabb, your true master, creator, owner, right? The one who decrees everything that happens in your lives. So He is our true Mawla, He is our true Malik, and He is our true Rabb. So whatever is worshipped besides Allah, it is not really God. Only Allah is Al-Haqq. And one of the implications of the word Haqq is that it is enduring, because truth lasts, right? Because truth is fact. It is reality. So even if people pretend not to see it, or they don't fully understand it, they don't recognize it, the truth doesn't really go away. The truth is permanent. It stays, right? Because fact, reality, is reality. It's not going anywhere, right? So this is one of the implications of the word haqq, meaning it is a thabit. It is permanent. So Allah is al-haqq, He is the truth, the true Lord. This also means that He is the one who is everlasting, the one who is enduring, the one who is perfect. So He will never perish, He will never diminish. Secondly, when Allah is al-haqq, this also means that He is the source of truth. So His teachings are true. They're never mixed with falsehood. We learn in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 176, that ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ نَزَّلَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ. Allah has revealed the book, the scripture, in truth, or with the truth. In verse 119 of Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ. Indeed, we have sent you with the truth. So Allah is the source of truth. Meaning he sends the truth. He has revealed the truth. He has sent His prophets with the truth. He has revealed scriptures containing the truth so that people know what the truth is. And then when Allah is al-haqq, this also means that His words are true. So whatever that Allah informs of, that is true. He guides to the truth. He decrees the truth, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words are true. So we learn in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 87, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who could be truer than Allah in speech? There is no one who is more true than Allah in speech, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala issues a command to the angels, the angels are overcome with fear, right? And they begin to glorify Allah, and then they ask each other that, what did your Lord say? So Jibreel says, Al-Haq. Your Lord has said Al-Haq, meaning he has spoken the truth. So the rest of the angels also, they say Al-Haq, Al-Haq. So Allah speaks the truth. His words are true. His messages are true. So anything that Allah has informed us of, that is real. So we learn in the Quran, وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا, right? That the hour, the final hour, is such that there is no doubt about it. There is no doubt in it. It's coming for sure. Anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about in the Quran, remember, it is fact. Anything regarding our past, meaning human history, or what happened before the world was created, or before Adam alayhi salam was created, what happened at the beginning, right? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. And then anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us about the future, right? So the events of the hereafter, the coming of the hereafter. And any matter that Allah has informed us of, that is related to the unseen, that we cannot perceive with our own eyes. So for example, angels, we cannot see with our eyes, but Allah has told us about their existence, so they are true, right? Likewise, the existence of the jinn, right? So any matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of through the Quran or through His messenger, remember, it is true, it is real. And then finally, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-haq, this also means that His promises are true. They're never ever broken. Whatever Allah has promised will come true. In Surah Fatir, ayah 5-6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that ya ayyuhan nas inna wa'adallahi haq. That, O people, indeed the promise of Allah is true. Meaning the promise of resurrection, the promise of recompense in the hereafter. It is true. It's going to happen. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Do not let this worldly life delude you. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And the great deceiver, meaning shaitan, don't let him deceive you about Allah. The promise of Allah is true. It's going to occur. In Surah An-Nisa, ayah 122, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the rewards that He has promised to those who believe and do righteous deeds. And then Allah says, وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّا. This is a promise of Allah, and He has made it true. He will make it true. There is absolutely no doubt about it. In Surah Al-Qasas, ayah 13, we learn about the mother of Musa alayhi salam. Right, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised her that we are going to return your baby to you. We're going to make him a prophet. And so what happened? Musa alayhi salam was returned to his mother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ. We returned him to his mother so that her eyes would be comforted, she would no longer be sad, and she would know that the promise of Allah is true. And when you know that the promise of Allah is true, you always have hope. And having hope is extremely important. Because remember that the mother of Musa alayhi salam was from the Bani Israel, and the Bani Israel were enslaved in Egypt. And they needed hope, right? That this difficulty is going to end. In Surah Az-Zumar, ayah 74, we learn that the people of Jannah will say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi sadaqana wa'ada. All praise to the one who was truthful to us in his promise, meaning he fulfilled his promise. In Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 44, we learn that the people of Jannah will ask the people in hell. They will say that we have found ma wa'adana rabbuna haqqa. We have found that whatever our Lord promised us is true. We have everything that was promised to us has been fulfilled. فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقًّا? So did you also find what your Lord promised you to be true? قَالُوا نَعَمْ. They will say yes. So the rewards of paradise, true. The punishment of hell, true. This is what Allah has promised. So Allah's promises are true. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-haq, He is the truth, He is the source of truth, His words are true, His promises are true, then what should we do? What is our responsibility? How do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in light of this name? The first thing is that we should strive to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His due haq, His due right, what He deserves from us. And what is that? That we worship Allah alone. In a hadith, we learned that the Prophet ﷺ told Mu'adh radiallahu anhu about the haqq of Allah, what Allah deserves from His slaves. And what is that? It is that they should worship only Allah. They should not associate anything with Him. So this is the right of Allah. And we should strive to give Allah His right to the best of our ability. And part of this is that we fear Allah as He deserves to be feared. Right, اتقوا الله حق تقاته, and strive in the way of Allah. جاهدوا في الله حق جهادي, as He deserves that we should strive for Him. Think about it. How much do we strive for the creation, even for ourselves? We exert so much effort, so much of our time. Just to write one essay, to submit one assignment, we spend hours and hours and hours. We dedicate so much of ourselves to things that are temporary. How much of ourselves do we dedicate to the one who is al-haq, the one who is the truth, the one who is permanent, the one who is everlasting? We should think about that. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-haq, we should also believe in the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And we should let the truth be our guide. Because, in this day and age especially, in fact, there has always been concepts beliefs that have been common, dominant, in different eras. And some of those concepts, some of those beliefs have been contrary to the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. So, for example, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many people believed in multiple gods. They worshipped idols, right? They worshipped multiple gods. The Quran teaches us something different. The Quran says there is only one God, right? So, at that time, this was the struggle. These days, your struggle may be, well, the Quran says this, and research shows that, or science says this, right? Or, given that we are living in the 21st century, right? Modernity demands from us that we do this and we do that. So there might be situations where you find yourself, struggling between, should I believe in this or should I believe in that, right? Where it's not always easy to see that the Quran is or what people say is in agreement with what the Quran says, right? You might see the two contradicting one another. So in that case, remember, believe in the truth. Because as people, as long as we are, learning just through observation, right? We are still learning. We can never claim that we have learned everything. There's always a possibility that there will come a point where we will say, what we believed previously was wrong. There was a time when people thought that the earth was flat. And if anybody said something otherwise, they were killed, right? So the thing is that people's observation, because we are still learning, we are still observing, our conclusions can always change. Right? Science is supposed to be self-correcting, that through research, through study, right, we are willing to revise our opinions. So remember this, the Quran, this is absolute truth. So if anything contradicts the Quran, right? You say that we need to do more research because this is the haqq. So let the truth be your guide, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the truth, and his light is the truth, and what is illuminated by His light will be true. When Allah is al-haqq, then speak the truth and live by the truth. When Allah is haqq, then believe in His true promises. Don't have any doubt about them. And when Allah is haqq, then encourage one another to live by truth also. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. How can we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this beautiful name? We should glorify and praise Allah with this beautiful name. In a hadith, we learn about how when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would get up to perform tahajjud, right, when he would perform the night prayer, he would begin his salah by glorifying Allah. So when you say Allahu Akbar and you say Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarakasmuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at that time, he would also make this dua. And what is it? It is Allahumma lakal hamd, anta nuru samawati wal ard. O Allah, for you is all praise, you are the light of the heavens and the earth. Wa lakal hamd, anta qayyimu samawati wal ard. Wa lakal hamd, anta rabbu samawati wal ard wa man fihin. All praise for you, you are the one who upholds the heavens and the earth. You are the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and whoever is within them. Anta al-haqq. O Allah, you are the truth. Wa wa'duka al-haqq, your promise is true. Wa qawluka al-haqq, your word is true. Wa liqa'uka haqq, the meeting with you is true. Wal jannatu haqq, paradise is true. Wa naru haqq, hell is true. Wa nabiyyuna haqq, prophets are true. Wa sa'atu haqq, the hour is true. And then, Allahumma laka aslamtu, O Allah, I surrender to you. I believe in you. Upon you, I put my trust. I turn to you. So it's a beautiful dua that we should also learn, especially with the month of Ramadan approaching. We should learn this dua so that we can also make this dua. And also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ability to speak the truth. Wa as'aluka kalimata al-haqq. O Allah, I ask you for the ability to speak the true word, right? A truthful speech. Fi rida wal ghadab, in joy and in anger. Because sometimes what happens is that when we're happy, we kind of compromise on the truth. Just to make other people laugh, sometimes we lie. And sometimes when we're angry, right, we say things also which are not true. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ability to speak the truth, regardless of what state you may be experiencing. The next name of Allah that we will be looking at is the name Al-Mubin. Al-Mubin, the one who is evident, the one who is manifest. This name occurs once in the Quran in Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the Day of Judgment, وَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ الْمُبِينَ. People will know that Allah is al-haqq, al-mubin. He is the true, He is al-mubin, the one who is manifest. Now, the word mubin is very interesting. Mubin is used for something that is manifest and evident, meaning something that is clear, right? The word mubin also means that which is distinct from the rest, meaning it's very clearly apart from the rest. Okay, it doesn't resemble other things. It's not mixed with them. It's distinct. And mubin also means what is eloquent. So for example, if someone is very eloquent in their speech, mubin. Expressive, mubin. And then mubin is also something that gives clarity, meaning something that makes other things clear and manifest. So these are the meanings of the word mubin. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mubin, what does that mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is evident, He is manifest. Well, we can't see Allah. Of course we can't. But still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is evident. How? Through His ayat. You see, an ayah is a sign. And what is a sign? A sign is supposed to be pointing you towards a certain destination. Right. So, for example, if you are going on a road, right, you are looking at the signs very clearly, at the road signs, right? Especially, you know, the names of the roads, because those will help you determine which you know, way you should go. Should you turn right? Should you keep going straight? Should you go left? They also help you determine which side of the road you should be on, right? In the right lane, in the left lane, in the middle lane. So this is the purpose of signs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed ayat, meaning He has revealed verses. And these verses, they help us recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They reveal to us, they show us who our Lord is. So yes, we don't see Him, but through the ayat, we know Him. And we can know Him better than we know the people around us. We can love Him more than we love our own children, more than we love even our own selves. We can be conscious of Him more than we can be conscious of, you know, police officers or any person in authority. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mubeen, meaning He is evident. He has not hidden Himself. He has not hidden Himself. He has revealed Himself to us, how? Through His ayat, through His revealed signs, meaning the verses that He has revealed, and also through the signs in the creation, right? The things that He has created. So for example, we learn when it comes to revelation, we learn about Musa alayhi salam, that when he was, you know, when he reached the mountain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him and He said, "Innani anallah." The one whom you hear, I am Allah. La ilaha illa ana. There is no God except for me. Fa'budni, therefore worship me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent revelation, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to His messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not hide Himself. No. Yes, la tudrikuhu al-absar. You know, vision cannot perceive Him. Of course. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made Himself manifest by sending revelation and by creating signs. So we learn about, you know, the prophets, you know, their message was the same, that all people worship Allah. You don't have any other God besides Him, right? We learn about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, his preaching began with what? Calling people to the worship of Allah. Right? You know, when someone asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, what is it that you preach? Right? What's your message? And he said that, you know, the summary of that is that I call you to the worship of the one whom you call upon when you are lost in, you know, in the desert, when you are hungry, when you are in need, right? So that same being that you already, you know, turn to, you already seek, He, you know, is the one whose worship I'm inviting you to, that you should worship only Him. We learn in Surah Az-Zumar, ayah number 6, that خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةً ثُمَّ جَعْلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَأَنزَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الْأَنْعَامِ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَزْوَاجٍ. That Allah created you from a single soul, right? And then the cattle are mentioned. And then, you know, our creation is mentioned, that يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates you in the wombs of your mothers, creation after creation, meaning one step after the other. He creates you progressively, right? In layers of darknesses. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. That is Allah, your Lord. In Surah Ghafir, ayah 79-81, it is said, Allahu alladhi ja'ala lakumul an'ama litarkabu minha wa minha ta'kulun. Allah is the one who has created these cattle for you. Some of them you ride, some of them you eat. You have so many benefits in them. You are able to travel by riding them. And then ships are mentioned, وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ, and He shows you His signs. فَأَيَّ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ تُنْكِرُونَ. So which of His of the signs of Allah will you deny? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is evident, right? And He has made Himself evident also by giving us knowledge of His names and attributes. And we could have not known about Allah unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us about Himself, right? وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ. We could not have known about him without him telling us about himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done a huge favor to the creation when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us of his names and attributes. And you know what? When you compare the Quran to the previous scriptures, especially what remains of the Torah and Injil and the Zabur, you will not find much mention of the names and attributes of Allah in the previous scriptures. You will find so many names and attributes of Allah in the Quran. So this is a huge gift, a huge blessing of Allah, and something that we should really pay attention to when we read the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mubin, this also means that he is distinct from his creation. He is not like his creation. So anything that you think about is about the creation, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different from that. He is distinct from his creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mubin, so he clarifies the truth. He has revealed his book, which is mubin, which is so eloquent, so expressive. A few words convey so much meaning, so much meaning. It's difficult to translate the Quran. Not just difficult, it's actually impossible. Because there are no other words that can do justice to the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken. The Quran is so eloquent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made his law, his deen, his religion known and evident. He has made things clear. In Surah Al-Hijr, ayah 1, we learn wa Qur'anin mubin, right? That this Quran is clear. In Surah Al-Nur, ayah 174, wa anzalna ilaykum nuran mubina. We have revealed to you a clear light. The Quran is clear in itself, and it's also a light, meaning it shows the way. It clarifies other matters. The verses of the Quran are described as ayatim mubayyinat, verses that are clear, that are evident, and also that are like evidences. An ayah of the Quran is a hujjah, right? Meaning it is an evidence, it's a proof that gives you confidence, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed the Quran to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He sent his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? In order to explain the Quran to us. Wa anzalna ilayka dhikra litubayyana lin-nasi ma nuzila ilayhim. We have revealed the message to you so that you clarify to people what has been revealed to them. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified the law, right? When it comes to salah, he said, pray as you see me praying. Watch me, and the way I pray, you should pray in the same way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said at Hajj, خُذُوا عَنِّي. Take from me, learn from me, ask me any question that you have about Hajj, right? And watch me, how I'm doing Hajj, so that you can perform it in the same way. So many instances we learn where, people came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a question, right? Where, for example, Sulaim asked a question that, it would be very awkward to, about a topic that is very awkward to discuss, but she said, Allah is not shy of the truth, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified the matter to her. So Allah azza wa jal is mubin. He has clarified the truth by sending revelation and his messengers. So when Allah is al-mubin, what should we do? How do we worship Allah in light of this beautiful name? First of all, we should pay regard to the clarity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided, right? So the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, learn those verses, follow those verses. The signs, the evident signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, pay attention to them, reflect upon them. And don't turn away from them. SubhanAllah, sometimes we are, outside, we're sitting in the car, for example, we're driving, and the sky is so beautiful, but we're still staring into our phones. We ignore the manifest signs, the beautiful signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us. We completely ignore them. So this is being very ungrateful toward Allah. So when Allah is al-mubin, he has clarified things for us, we should pay attention to that clarity, right? And especially when it comes to the verses of the Quran, remember that they are clear And we should pay regard to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies to you His verses. Why? In Surah Ali Imran, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. In order that you are rightly guided. In Surah Al-Baqarah, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So that you reflect. Again in Surah Al-Baqarah, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. So that you understand. Again in Surah Al-Baqarah, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. So that they are more conscious. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you are grateful. So pay attention to His verses. Pay attention to His signs. Reflect upon them. Be guided through them. Try to understand them. And learn from them. And be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such a clear and precise revelation. And really, you know, again, when you compare the Quran to the previous scriptures, especially what people have now of the Torah, Injil, and the Zabur, it is so, those books are so heavy, so burdensome just to read, and so difficult to comprehend. The message is not clear because the original language, you know, the scripture is not known properly in the original language, like how to read it, you know, properly in Hebrew or in Greek. So the Quran, such a huge blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear. So we should really pay attention to the Quran and learn its meanings. And inshallah, I would like to share some good news with you that inshallah, starting today, inshallah, we're beginning a new program of Ta'aleem al-Quran. Every Saturday, you can register tomorrow, inshallah, online. Inshallah, the link will be shared with you. You can register for it every Saturday, starting today, inshallah, is the orientation, but starting next week, we're going to begin a new journey, starting from Surah Al-Fatiha, where we're going to study the word-for-word meaning of the Quran, and the tafsir also. And this is, you know, something that we all need to do in our lives. And a once a week commitment is not that difficult. So yes, it's going to be a long journey, but you know, the days are long, years are short. So you never know, because of your connection with the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with so much ease and blessing in your life. So the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified, let us pay attention to them and learn their meaning. You see, we try to understand such complicated concepts just to get what? Half a credit, one credit, just so that we can, you know, move towards graduating. And those concepts are what? We read them, we try to understand them just for the sake of passing a test. We put up with so much, information which we don't even always agree with, but we still put up with it. Why? Because, you know, we have a greater goal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed a book which is beautiful, which is perfect, which is evident in its meaning. Yani, it's a source of constant blessing, continuous reward. So let us make room in our lives for the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves that from us, that we pay attention to the clarity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mubin, this also means that we should not pursue the matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in the unseen from us. You know, there are things that Allah has clarified and other things that Allah has deliberately not informed us of. So leave those matters, right? Why? Because if it was necessary for us to know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have informed us of those things. If He did not inform us about them, this means that we don't need to know about those things right now. So pay attention to what has been clarified and don't pursue what you can never encompass. Then thirdly, when Allah is al-mubin, we should also manifest the truth and not conceal it. If Allah has privileged us, blessed us with the knowledge of of al-haqq, of the truth, whether it is about Allah or His scripture, His book, then we should share that truth with other people. We learn in a hadith that the example of the person who learns knowledge, but then does not tell other people about it, is like a person who has a huge treasure but does not spend from it. Yani, it's a waste that you have such a great opportunity. Why won't you take advantage of it? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mubin, how can we call upon Allah by this beautiful name? When anything is confusing to you, when anything is unclear to you, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for clarity. In a hadith, we learn about how there was a complicated situation of, some marital discord where there was accusation of, zina. So things were unclear. And it was said, Allahumma bayyin. Oh Allah, make the truth evident. Oh Allah, bayyin. Clarify the reality. And the reality was clarified. So whether it is your personal matter, right, or something that you are reading but you cannot make sense of, you want, there's a situation in which the truth is confusing to people. You cannot figure out what to do, right? You are studying something and you still don't comprehend it. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, you are the one who makes things clear. Make this matter clear for me. And part of this is that when you're making a decision, you pray istikhara, right? That you don't know what is truly beneficial for you, what would be beneficial for you in this life and the next. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, you clarify things for me. And it is truly a gift from Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent His guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed His, this beneficial knowledge, so that so many things become clear to us about ourselves, about our relationships, about the life that we're living, about this world, about this universe, about the future. This is a gift of Allah Azza wa Jal. Finally, the last name that inshallah we will cover is the name Al-Ilah. Who is Al-Ilah? Al-Ilah is the deity, the one, the God, meaning the one who is Ma'bud, the one who is actually worshipped. Why is He worshipped? Because He is the one who truly deserves to be worshipped. There is no one else that deserves your sajda, that deserves your dua, that deserves your tasbih, your glorification in beautiful terms, other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Ilah, Allah Azza wa Jal, who is Al-Haqq, who is Al-Samad, who is Al-Wahid, who is Al-Ahad, who is Al-Muhsin, who is Al-Jawad, who is Al-Khabir, who is Al-Alim, who is Al-Alim, who is Al-Mu'ti. All of the names of Allah that we have studied, all of them point to what? To the fact that He is the real God, the one whom we should truly worship. And remember that Ilah is the one who is worshipped with love, with adoration, with humility. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves that from us. Al-Ilah is the one who is such that people turn to, right? They seek refuge in Him. The one who amazes. This is from the linguistic meanings of the word ilah. So when we learn about the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially, the past few weeks that we have, or months rather, in which we have been learning the names and attributes of Allah, all, this knowledge, this awareness increases in us love for Allah, humility to Allah, trust in Allah, fear of Allah, hope in Allah. And all of this is part of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this knowledge, then it only befits us that now we worship Al-Ilah, the one who deserves worship. That we seek His help, we glorify Him, we praise Him, we perform acts of obedience to Him. We do the things that He likes, that He approves of. And when we are in any difficulty, we ask Him for help. The first one that we should think of in any difficulty should be Allah Azza wa Jal. I request that you share this knowledge with people, you know, in your lives. Share the knowledge of the beautiful names with the people in your lives, because we cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly unless and until we know Him. We cannot accept His commands. We cannot understand His decrees unless and until we know Him. We cannot trust His decisions unless and until we know Him. We cannot follow His book properly unless and until we know Him. So knowledge of the names of Allah is part of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in our knowledge of His names and attributes. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to worship Him in the best way. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for any shortcomings in our part, for anything that we may have said, inadvertently, that was inappropriate in respect to the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to worship Him in the best way, to call upon Him with His most beautiful names. And to Allah Azza wa Jal is all praise and all glorification, for He is the one who has gifted us this, blessed us with this opportunity. If it was not His favor upon us, we could never have learned His names. We could never have known Him. So all praise, all thanks, all glory for Allah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.